This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. So glad you're joining us on this beautiful Sunday. I'm Jason Laidler, joined, of course, as usual, by the world-famous Ted Walshen. Good morning, Mr. Walshen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you on this wonderful...
last Sunday of May?
Historic day in May.
Yeah, last show of the month of May for us. Mm-hmm. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for asking. We got a busy show, as usual. Thank you to the listeners out there who got up early to join us this morning. And if you're just joining us, we hope, if you're just joining us for the first time, I mean, we hope you enjoy the show and learn something and become a regular listener. We do get lots of compliments. We're going to talk about that later on, actually, so I'll leave that for now. But let's get a couple of interesting events. Let's touch on a couple of interesting events here before we get down and dirty to talk about the probate stuff, which we're going to do. Ted, I know you're excited, and tell us why. What's happening?
Well, it's the annual running of the greatest spectacle in motorsports, which is the Indianapolis 500.
Okay. So that's a car race, right? I don't know.
Oh, come on, you don't know. You got it. Everybody
yeah, but, knows but I mean,
the
like,
Indy 500. Yes, it's a car race.
Is it stock cars?
No,
F1?
It's Indy cars. They're open-wheel cars. They're similar to Formula One cars, except they don't utilize power steering.
Really?
They're a little heavier.
So IndyCar...
They're not as fast in the takeoff.
What does Toronto host? That's an Indy,
Toronto
right?
hosts an Indy race, yeah.
Yeah.
Montreal hosts a Formula One race.
Yeah, okay.
So they're similar in that sense. The F1 cars, the Formula One cars are faster because they're lighter and they'll take off faster than the Indy cars. But the Indy cars, like, for example, at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is a 2.5-mile oval... They will hit speeds in excess of 230 miles an hour, and you won't find that on Formula One or in NASCAR or any other sport other than drag racing.
This is something that's on TV, and you're going to watch it?
It's on television.
That's a big deal?
It's huge.
Okay.
It's huge.
Well, good. Enjoy.
So it's 11 o'clock this morning. And
let me know how it goes.
You get to sing back
watching
home.
These cars go around and around.
It's more
around
than that. It's more than see. That's the thing. It's like people who don't play golf think it's a boring and easy game until you try it.
Okay.
You imagine being in one of these cars. Yeah.
Whoops.
Don't call me now. Imagine being in
it's one. A listener calling into the show.
Yeah, exactly. It must be somebody I owe money to. Nobody else would be up this early. Imagine driving in one of these cars, though. You think about it. You're 3-4 inches away from the next car, and you're open wheel, right? There's no bumpers or anything, right?
But isn't F1 open wheel as well?
They are, but they don't go that fast.
Okay, all right.
So you're 3.5 inches away from a car, and then you're like 1.5 feet or a couple feet away from a 3-foot concrete wall.
Well, it sounds like the Don Valley Parkway.
Well, at 237 miles an hour. That's okay, not kilometers.
Enjoy watching the cars go round and round and round. And let me know how that goes. Let me know who wins. You know what else is happening today?
I'm not going to let you know. In fact, I hope your television goes and you won't even be able to watch
it. I brought you a snack again.
It's the greatest race
that you
missed.
Once again, I brought you a snack.
You did.
Because it's National Biscuit Day.
You never commented on the beets and the horse riding.
Did I not?
My daughter brought for me.
It was lovely. I washed out your Tupperware containers and returned them while ago, and I told you it was fantastic, and I loved it.
Okay, but you didn't say that on the air.
Well, I've said it on the air now.
Okay,
so I brought two varieties of biscuits. Well, this one is like, these are like regular tea biscuits.
Did you steal these from your grandkids?
No, I bought them, of course. And, of course, you can't have biscuits without having a shortbread. That's a shortbread that you're sampling right now. Because, you know, we don't have the tea. But whatever, we got the biscuits. So that's good. A bit of early breakfast. biscuits for breakfast. I guess it could be worse, eh? Okay, so Ted can't talk right now because his mouth is full of biscuit. It's also, I'm really excited about this. It's paperclip day.
I love that.
Yeah, and I gave you a paperclip this morning already.
I remember reading the story of how the paperclip was invented, and I can't recall how it goes.
Oh, well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing you're telling us on the radio then. That
but I think it was another one of, one of these. I think it was another one of these. Didn't mean to invent it, but we invented it anyway. Stories.
Okay, kinda I believe that. I mean, that happens
like
all the time.
Velcro. That's the way Velcro was invented.
That's probably probably an urban myth. But anyway,
what, a Velcro?
Yeah.
No, you know how that happened, don't you?
How would I know how that happened?
A guy went out for a walk in the woods with his dog, and his dog got caught up in all these burrs.
Uh-huh.
So he came home, and he started pulling the burrs off, and he was fascinated by the way the burrs worked and how they hooked around and they worked with, and that's how Velcro was invented.
Was the dog's name Velcro?
No, but that's how Velcro was invented.
I do have a paperclip story, though, and again, it may be urban myth or whatever, but I think a little while ago, and I mean like 10, 15 years ago, wasn't there a story about some guy who was going to trade up everything until he got a house? And he started with a paperclip.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, I'll trade you this paperclip for, I don't know, a pencil or a pen.
Yeah.
And then he went to someone else, I'll trade you this pen for a deck of cards and blah, blah, blah.
A wheelbarrow.
Yeah. And then it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. And the idea was that for the cost of a paperclip, he ended up getting a house.
Yeah. I don't. Did he actually get the house?
I don't know.
I think you're right. I mean, I know the story you talk about. And it's quite fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah. I mean, it probably took some time, but hey, a house in the GTA today for the price of a paperclip, that's a pretty good deal.
I remember my brother and I, at Christmas time, we would sit there and we would take elastic bands with paperclips when my parents and grandparents weren't around.
Yeah.
And we'd just go, and we'd shoot.
Fling them?
We'd shoot the bulb decorations, the big fat bulbs hanging in the tree.
Well.
And then my mother and grandmother, you know, later on would go, well, how did this break? Why did this break?
Oh, charming.
Until they started finding paper clips on the floor. Uh-huh. And they put two and two together.
Well, speaking of decorative bulbs.
Yes.
The studio looks a little different today.
You know what? I wish we were on camera here. This studio, let me paint a picture here. This is a circular table. In the middle of the circular table is a little box. On top of the box, so there are four arms connecting to four different microphones. Well, surrounding those four microphones are wires, so the end of each wire are plastic 2-inch flamingos with light bulbs inside them.
They're more than two. They're like
maybe 4 inches, yeah.
Hey, don't break it. Don't break the flamingo,
I'm not breaking
man.
It. I'm not. So and I thought, well, did I just walk into like a really bad 60s bar? What is this?
Well, I got here before you did.
Yeah, you did.
And I strung, I guess you could call them like, they're like patio lights, right? They're like pink flamingo patio lights because it's Pink Flamingo Day, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted didn't believe me when I said that when he arrived here at the studio, but
I'm just wondering, you see, because this is about as much room as I would need. The length of this string would probably cover the circumference of my cat's bed. But I'm wondering whether my cat would like to have a
bed. It could torment the cat. Who knows?
Well, that's the thing. You never know.
Is that what you're trying to do? You want to torment the cat? No, that would be very nice.
No.
So, yes, it is also Pink Flamingo Day, and I just couldn't resist sharing that with the listeners today. And I had to find some sort of iteration of a pink flamingo, and I found these patio lights, and I couldn't resist. I strung them up. So the good news is they're for you to keep. I bought a box for you and a box for Kelly.
Now, where did the concept of having pink flamingos adorn one's yard
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I don't know the answer to your question.
A couple years ago, my friend Zenon went out and bought 100 of them, or rented 100 of them,
yeah,
and we had them planted on Hazel McCallion's.
For her 100th?
For her 100th birthday.
I know that's a thing, and that's kind of what I was looking for, but I found these, and I thought these were even better than the stand-up kind. But here's a question that might be a silly question. Do we have pink flamingos in Canada? Like natural ones? I'm sure there's some in the zoo, but
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Maybe.
But I wasn't sure if we had them out east, like on the coast.
Scarborough?
Yeah, that's right. Scarborough. The pink flamingos of Scarborough, downtown Scarborough?
Yeah.
Okay. At the mall?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, listen.
Good question. Somebody's sitting there going, you idiots.
I know. They probably say that every week, Ted.
Probably do.
They probably do, and rightly so. Okay, listeners, sorry that we've gone on a bit long here in the opening segment to talk about stuff that's not really important. We are going to talk about some stuff that is important. We're going to talk about probate stuff. We're going to talk about something called the executor's year. That's a thing. That's a concept. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about other things. We're going to talk about some mailbag items. We've got a jam-packed show full of good stuff, hopefully as usual, and hopefully you're going to enjoy that and learn something. We're going to take our quick first break, and we'll be right back.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Well, it's time to head down and talk to our friend Tom Mihalik at Tom's Place. They're located in the heart of Kensington Market, 190 Baldwin, as a matter of fact, where you are going to find all those fabulous clothes that you're desperately searching for now that the weather has changed. Shorts, short-sleeve shirts, all kinds of lighter fabrics, too. Anything kind of stick out this year, this season, Tom?
Ted, thank you very much. And it's interesting that it does stick out, that people are buying more dressy casual pants. People are buying more dressy casual clothing. You know, at one time they said, well, people are not going to wear dress pants or dress shirts. That's all wrong. People are wearing dressier clothing. It might be casual, but dressier. Online sport jacket, beautifully styled sport pants, beautiful shirts. So at Tom's Place, we follow suits because we know what the customers want, and we know that suits will never be out of style.
And you know, I love that whole concept because you can get a nice shirt or a nice pair of pants, and you can wear it with a pair of jeans or with a casual shirt, or you can wear it with a suit because it matches everything. It's very flexible and very breathable, too, which is really important this time of the year.
Thank you, Ted. It's always great to hear you on the radio. Love it.
Goes without saying, the prices can't be beat. Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin, in the heart of Kensington Market.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Hey, you are listening to, and a good morning to you, the Avoid Probate Show.
Well, I thought you were talking to me for a second there.
I am talking to
say
you.
Good morning.
He's Jason Laidler. I'm Ted Wallachin, and the information we provide for you in this program each week is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different, so if you do have legal or investment questions, we can guide you to a legal person. Mr. Laidler can help you with your investment questions. He's qualified to do so. And so you can contact us for any direction, any questions, any comments, several ways. First of all, you can email info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Or toll free, 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628, and Jason will get back to you as soon as possible.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Ted. Did you turn your phone off, by the way, on the break?
It's off.
Okay, great. So let's move on here. It is the Avoid Probate Show, and we're glad you're here. We're going to talk about some probate-related items. I'm going to tie it all in, as I try to do. That's the goal. You know, there's lots of facets to probate and estate planning and how probate is part of estate planning. And we try really, really hard here on the Avoid Probate Show to stay focused and tie it together, tie it to probate somehow. It's not the, the travel show for seniors or the kale salad recipe or anything like that. It's all things related to probate. So that's what we're going to do. Let's jump in. I've got an article here from Advisor's Edge magazine, which is one of the industry magazines that I get on a regular basis. Well, before I get into the article, well, I'll tell you, the article's called Breaking Down the Executor's Year. The Executor's Year, it's an unofficial concept. We're going to talk about it. But I've said, before I read the article, I've said on the show many, many times that you do not want to be an executor in Ontario if you can help it, because it is a lot of work. It is a lot of responsibility. It can be expensive. There's stories out there that are easy to find where executors are out of pocket because of the work they've had to do. Some people think of it as a badge of honor. I understand that. I think we've talked on that. We've touched on that before. Some people just feel it's their duty. You know, mom's gone, and the least I could do is be the executor for her estate. But you really need to you really need to think about this role, this obligation. It's not an obligation in the sense that just because you've been named as an executor doesn't mean you have to act as the executor. We've talked about the concept of renunciation before. And then we told a story about where a renunciation application was denied, which is, I think, is kind of funny. It's not really funny, but anyway, okay, let's jump into this article. And the subtitle is, some beneficiaries are entitled to interest on their inheritance starting 1 year after death. Article, credit to Rudy Mazzetta, who wrote this article and had it published in Advisors Edge magazine. Executors have 1 year, generally, starting from the date of death, to gather the deceased's assets and administer an estate before having to make distributions. This period, a rule under common law, is known as the executor's year. After the executor's year, beneficiaries, particularly a legatee, you're familiar with that term, Ted, a legatee?
That would be someone who takes part of your legacy.
Correct, yes. So I think the words are related to each other, legacy, legatee. Mm-hmm. That's how it works, if I'm not wrong. So the beneficiary, the legatee beneficiary set to receive a bequest or a specific gift under the estate rather than a residual share can compel executors to begin paying out estate assets. Okay, so far so good. The executor's year gives executors breathing room to administer the estate, but with the expectation, which is also in common law, that they have a duty to get going. So you can't just sit on it for, until it's convenient for you to start doing the work. And it's work. And that's why it's easy for people to procrastinate. Because if you're busy, if you got a full-time job and young kids and other things to do, you're a busy person, now you got to do the work required to settle somebody's estate. It's a lot of work. During the executor's year, an executor will identify and gather estate assets, pay estate expenses and debts, and the executor is also responsible for filing tax returns. And there could be multiple tax returns. Mm-hmm. The timeline tends to become contentious when beneficiaries become frustrated with what they see as an undue delay in distribution. So this is easy to understand, I think, because the benefit. I always say the kids are starving. The kids are starving. They want their inheritance like yesterday. And if they think that the executor is stalling or dragging his or her feet or something like that, they are going to get frustrated and they're going to start saying, "Hey, what's going on?" And I've said this before as well. The executor has an obligation to report to beneficiaries. Beneficiaries are entitled to see the part of the will which names them as a beneficiary. And that's for, what's the word I'm looking for? That's for reporting. That's for, so that the beneficiary knows that if the will says, let's just, for example, the will says they're entitled to get $25,000, they get $25,000. If they don't see that part of the will and you give them $25,000 because you're the executor, well, they don't know. They're not going to take your word for it. Is this the right amount? Should I have received $50,000 and you're only giving me $25,000? You know what I mean? It's for credentials. But that's why there's an obligation there to report to the beneficiary. So if a beneficiary, along the same lines here, if a beneficiary brought a court application, a judge would consider how effectively and diligently the executor had administered the estate under the presumption that estate assets should be gathered and legacies paid during the executor's year. And this brings me to a comment about the number of children, I guess, that are involved in the estate. My father passed a few years ago. I was his only child. Mm-hmm. And we had everything set up. It was easy peasy because A, I own avoidprobate.ca, and B, I didn't have to answer to anybody.
Right.
So, but, if there's three kids, four kids, six kids, quite often, I guess it's safe to say not everybody gets along. I see that when I go to meetings and have these discussions with people. There's a black sheep. I hope that's not a derogatory term. Well, I guess it's derogatory, but I hope it's not too offensive. Black sheep in the family. And that person could be a source of conflict and not just conflict, but they could be putting pressure on the executor. Hey, what's going on? It should have happened faster. You should have waited. You should have waited to sell the house, or you should have sold it quicker. I mean, there's some people that, you're never going to please, right? So when there's multiple beneficiaries, this becomes more problematic than if it's just an only child. And that also ties into other parts of the estate plan when it comes to adding a joint owner. I say it all the time. I don't like joint accounts, but I definitely don't like it when there's like four kids. You don't need four people on the account. But if there's one child, well, I will admit that there can be some scenarios where maybe having the adult child as a joint owner isn't terrible. But it still leads to exposure, which is a concern. But anyway, we can talk about that another time. If you have more questions about that, give me a call. Carrying on with this article, with most estates, executors can collect assets and pay out bequests, if not residual shares, within the first year after the deceased's death. However, here we go. This is where it gets juicy and we tie it into the probate stuff. However, estate administration today takes longer than in years past due to several factors. For example, depending on where the deceased lived, there may be a backlog of several months before an executor is able to obtain a certificate of probate from a provincial court. Now, in my mind, that's being kind. That's being generous. The probate process needs to take place in the municipality in which the deceased person lived. Okay? So if you live up north, you probate it up north. And if you live in the GTA, you probate it in the GTA. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the GTA and you got to go through probate, several months? No. If you were lucky, it was several months pre-COVID. The courts were closed for a year and a half. The probate courts were backed up pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Then they closed them for a year and a half. Well, people died during that year and a half of court closure time.
Yeah.
So the backlog, you can imagine. I always say 10 months, and I think 10 months, I know 10 months is still being kind. And that's if everything's clean. If there's any errors or any challenges or any problems at all, forget it. You are years in the probate court, years. We have clients who it took 5 years or more to get the probate process completed. So I think they're being kind in this article. It goes on to say, further, if the deceased died owning property, say a vacation home, in another province or outside Canada, it may be necessary to obtain probate and or other necessary clearances for that property from the other jurisdiction as well. And that took me back to, boy, almost a year ago, I'd say, close to a year ago, when we had the cross-border expert. Were you here for that show? I think you were. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. We brought in this cross-border expert to talk about probate issues with regards to snowbirds.
Yep.
Okay. We're gonna have to bring this guy back. He was a great guest. He said he'd love to come back. It's been a while, so I'll reach out to him again and we'll bring him back because there's so much cross border stuff to talk about with regard to probate and taxation and stuff like that for our snowbird listeners. I know we're coming up to our next break here, but I want to just add one more thought here from this article. It says executors also need to wait for clearance from the Canada Revenue Agency, CRA, formerly known as Revenue Canada, right? For old people like us. You have to wait for a clearance certificate from Revenue Canada that all tax liabilities related to the estate have been paid. This step protects the executor from personal liability. I mean, I touched on this in the beginning about why you don't want to be an executor in Ontario. There is personal liability potentially. Should further liabilities arise, but will also delay distribution. In recent years, stricter regulatory requirements, including stronger privacy legislation, have further delayed estate administration. So getting back to the personal liability issue, I've mentioned a few times, you can buy executor insurance. That is a thing. I don't sell it. I'm not licensed to sell it. I don't want to sell it. I say that every time I mention it because I'm not plugging it for my own sake here at avoidprobate.ca. Avoidprobate.ca is not a charity. We're a for-profit enterprise, and we're helping people avoid probate. And if you're under the age of 85, usually we can avoid the probate at no cost to you, which is fantastic because it's a nightmare, and you can avoid it quite easily with the solution that we have, which involves transferring investments from the bank where they are today over to an insurance company where the rules are different. And now we can put a beneficiary on that investment that didn't have one before. And that is all it takes to avoid the probate on that money. We can also avoid the probate on the property. Like when I say property, I mean real estate, the house, the cottage, that kind of thing. And that usually involves something called a bear trust, which I'm not going to get into today. But we certainly have had a lot of interest from callers and listeners about the bear trust. Everyone wants to know more about it because nobody has heard of it before, which I find interesting. Just side note real quick. I just had a meeting, lovely lady and an adult child. And we talked about the bear trust. She's got a home and a cottage. And I mentioned we can avoid the probate on both using the bear trust. And she said to me, well, okay. I'll ask my lawyer. And I said, yep, okay, fine. We've got a lawyer on the team, of course, who can do this work. That's how we know what we know about it, because we've got the best lawyers, best estate planners, best real estate lawyers, etc., in my opinion, in the province. So, but my question to her was, okay, when you call this guy or girl, I don't know who, what the gender of the lawyer is, you know, and you mention the bear trust and ask them, she said, well, what do I say? Well, ask them if they're familiar with the strategy and if, you know, what they think of it and if they're in a position to implement it for you. And if so, you know, get a quote as to what they think it might cost for the bear trust to be drafted. There's a charge. The lawyers don't work for free, of course. And then I thought, you know, at the same time, if they say yes, we can do this, then my next question would be, well, why didn't you mention this to me before? Mm-hmm. Like this lady's, I'm trying to think how old she is. I think she's, well, I don't want to say her age, but, you know, she's not a teenager. So she's had her will redone recently. Okay, well, you've had the will redone. Why wouldn't the lawyer mention the bear trust when he's doing the will and the powers of attorney? That's just a question I would have. Yeah, we'll leave it at that for now. So let's take another quick break here, and we'll pick up on this article as well as a few more interesting items relating to probate as soon as we get back.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
My name is Marilyn, and I avoided probate.
Our story begins when Marilyn paid a visit to her mom's bank. She noticed something odd.
She had 100% of her money tied up in GICs, making 1%. It wasn't enough to sustain her. She was dipping into her capital big time.
Marilyn wanted to disperse the money for her mom's needs as she ages. She had acquired power of attorney.
No, you can't do anything with her accounts. They're in her name.
And that was that.
I was overwhelmed by everything. I didn't know what to do.
That's when Jason from avoidprobate.ca stepped in.
There was a sense of urgency because Marilyn's mother is no spring chicken. This process takes time, and I didn't know how much time we had.
He walked me through what I should do when I went to the bank, what I should say to them.
Not only that, Jason went with Marilyn to the bank.
They weren't happy that I was sitting across the table from them in the office, and they knew that we were trying to move this money. But I knew that we had a right to do that, and it was the right thing to do. Persistence paid off, and we got the transfer done in time. So many seniors have these GICs at the bank. They will be probated. They will be frozen. They're paying next to nothing. And they're locked in with maturity dates. It drives me crazy. I don't understand why anybody buys these things. There are much better options out there. And sometimes we can do this transfer at no cost to the account holder.
Should you get in touch with avoidprobate.ca?
Anybody who has non-registered accounts at the bank needs to look into the services we provide at avoidprobate.ca because, by definition, you can't put a beneficiary on a non-registered account at the bank. You can put a beneficiary on a non-registered account at an insurance company. The rules are different.
I felt that the banks thought I was a thief, but Jason made me feel so much better. I know we've done the right thing.
Call us at avoidprobate.ca on the toll-free number, but call us before your mom or dad passes away. That's when we can help you.
Have the conversation with your parents and avoid probate like Marilyn did with avoidprobate.ca. Call 1-844-667-7628.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And good morning. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning here for the latest edition of the Avoid Probate Show, and we invite you to join us each Sunday. And we also invite you to call or email with your questions or your comments, suggestions. It can be positive, too, or negative. We're cool with that, too. And we'll try to reply to each and every one of them. Info at avoidprobate.ca. That's the way to get a hold of Jason in terms of an email. If you'd like to call and leave a message, 1-844-667-7628, 1-844-667-7628. Jason's mom will answer the phone.
Hi, Mom.
And be polite to her. And we've got a lot of great stuff on the website, by the way, which is www.avoidprobate.ca, including a free probate calculator. You can play around with that and get an idea of how much probate might be payable on your estate. And there's also a button you can press that says, listen to the show, and you can access past programs again. So take advantage of all that. It's free, just as this show is. Free and easy, Jace.
That's us, Ted. Free and easy, right?
Yeah.
That's how we roll?
That's how we roll.
So I think it's interesting to, okay, I just want to carry on with this article for a second, because I'm sure there's listeners who will find it interesting when I say that legatee beneficiaries, we could just call them beneficiaries, I guess, maybe that's easier, who are set to receive a cash bequest are entitled to interest on the amount starting 1 year after death until they receive the gift, even if factors beyond the executor's control caused the delay. So that's, I think that's really interesting, because listen, it's not going to get settled in a year. There's no way, like this executor's year thing, I think that's ancient history, the concept, because, well, I've got another.
Well, where does this interest money come from?
It comes from the estate. So, you know, if mom said you're entitled to 100 grand, but Uncle Joe took like 3 years to get it sorted out, well, now your 100 grand is 100 grand plus interest from the estate. I mean, it has to come from the estate.
Well, somebody has to lose it then.
I mean, you could try and get it from Uncle Joe as well, and that happens, and that's why I said there's executor insurance, because if Uncle Joe, who was supposed to settle this thing and have it wrapped up, you know, ASAP, and he didn't for whatever reason, he's liable. And I said that. You don't want to be an executor in Ontario, because there's personal liability attached to it, hence the new executor insurance option, which I promote it. I support it. Again, I don't sell it. But I think it's a good idea. And people are building this into their wills now. They're building the request for part of the estate money to cover the cost of insurance on the executor. This rule about, you know, even if it's beyond the executor's control, well, probate is beyond the executor's control. Well, sort of. You know, the guy, you can't sit on it. You got to file the probate application as soon as you can. You could decide to do nothing for 6 months before you even file the application. And of course, that's just going to delay everything by 6 months. But I guess, you know, the other point I'm trying to make by sharing this article is our solution here to avoiding the probate avoids all of this stuff. So if we do the transfer of assets over to the insurance company and mom now is able to say, okay, Billy gets this, Tom gets this, Frank gets this, like as a percentage of the account, 30%, 20%, whatever the number is, you know, it's entirely up to mom to divvy up the value to the beneficiaries any way that she wants to. And that's not locked in. She can change her mind if she wants to change her mind anytime before she loses capacity, she could change her mind. And then, you know, if everything is set up like that, then none of this matters. None of it. There's no such thing as an executor's year, because when mom passes, the executor provides a death certificate. The insurance company looks at the death certificate, looks at who the beneficiaries are, cuts the checks. That's it. So there's no fuss or muss. There's no probate delays to worry about. Well, like I said, we can avoid the probate on the house as well. Technically, we can avoid the probate entirely if people want to do that, and lots of people do want to do that. So that's a good thing, because you avoid all this mess with the executor, and then you know it doesn't speak to the will at all, right? The money that the insurance company pays out doesn't even speak to the will. So it's possible, it's all set up at the insurance company, that you don't even need a will. There's nothing to the will applies to if the insurance company has beneficiaries on the system and just pays out to the beneficiaries. It takes care of it. So that's such something I wanted the listeners to think about it in that context. It's a bit of those are broad strokes. I'm not saying nobody needs a will. I'm not saying that for sure. But I am saying that the money that we're avoiding the probate on by recreating a portfolio at the insurance company, that money is not governed by what the will says. Okay. So let's leave this article aside here. We got most of it. We got through most of it. But I wanted to real quick before we run out of time again, you know, in relation to that topic, I found another article which kind of pertains more to Ontario specifically, because the Advisor Edge magazine is a national publication and they make references to BC and stuff, which I didn't share. But there is an article I found doing this research, and it's called How Long After Probate Can Funds Be Distributed in Ontario? So along the same vein, you know, it says after probate's been granted, now after probate's been granted, and it says it usually takes 6 to 12 months to settle the estate and distribute property, gifts, and other entitlements to beneficiaries. But remember, the probate process itself is going to take the better part of a year, if not longer. So there's no way this person, this executor, is going to have all this done inside the quote-unquote executor's year. There might have been a time, and I guess if you live in a small rural area where the probate court isn't backlogged like it is in the GTA, okay, maybe that's different. Going on, this article that I found online says, well, it just says what I just said, but the actual probate process can take some time. The executor first needs to gather all financial documentation related to the estate, usually for an estate lawyer, because most people don't want to do this themselves, especially if you've done it. If you've never done it before, you're doing it for the first time, you don't have a clue. I get it. How would you know what to do? How would you know where to begin, right? And we get that question all the time. Mm-hmm. What do I do? So those items that need to be gathered, here's an incomplete list, okay? But just to give you an idea, bank account statements, tax returns, yeah, good luck with that. Investment portfolio statements, real estate records, good luck with that. Life insurance policies, records of debt, pension plans, and company share ownership records. So, holy cow, like, can you imagine, like, I'm not going to repeat the list, but that's daunting. That's a daunting task.
Well, when you say tax returns, how many years?
I don't know. It depends, I guess. It depends on what the estate lawyer thinks is necessary. It's a good question. Well, certainly, one or two, I guess. It goes on to say what can also take a long time is obtaining original signed consent and or renunciations. There's that term renunciation again, that are required from all beneficiaries to include with the probate application. Each beneficiary needs to be located, sent hard copy forms, and return signed documents before the application can move forward. Holy cow, how long is that going to take? An estate lawyer can help with this part of the process. I mentioned that the beneficiaries are entitled to know what their entitlement is. And so that all has to happen, like hard copies, you got to find these people. I guess it's easy sometimes when it's a close family member and there's one kid maybe, but you know, not some. Well, we talked a little bit a few weeks ago about a beneficiary being in Germany. The guy's here, and his brother's in Germany. Mm-hmm. We have clients with beneficiaries all over the world.
Sure,
safe to say, especially the United States. Just you know, have clients. It's not uncommon. The kids got jobs in the U.S.
No.
And that's where they are. After the application's filed, the time it takes to grant probate can vary by the court, as I mentioned. It just depends on how busy they are. In rural areas, the process can take days or weeks. I doubt it. In urban centers like Toronto, the process can take many months. That's what it says. And again, we've said that several times already this morning. Many months can be many, many, many months. And that's if it's a clean application. Errors get made on these applications all the time. I mentioned when the province revamped the rules back in 2015, they created a new filing requirement, a new form, brand new form called the Estate Information Return. It's form 9955. It's 7 pages long. That's where you list all of the assets that you need to pay the probate on. And it requires so much detail and just completing this form, because you need to know, you know, who's on the account, if it's joint, what's the ratio of the joint ownership, who's the advisor's phone number, what's the value, what's the ACB, what's the fair market value. Like it's a lot of work, and that's why most people will need to hire somebody to help them out, whether it's a lawyer or a certified executor advisor. That's an option. We don't have time today. I have another article about TFSAs and how they get treated upon the death of the TFSA owner. And the article is actually written by the president of the organization that creates the certified executor advisors. And so I'll have to save that for another time, because we're not going to have time to get there today. Tell you what, we do have a pretty good sized mailbag, and I know that's a popular segment of the show, Ted. So
yep.
Why don't we break here a little bit earlier so that we can maybe spend a little extra time doing some mailbag stuff right after this quick message.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Avoid problems you didn't know you had.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid all that red tape.
Avoidprobate.ca. Avoid high fees.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid a long wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid expensive fines.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid uncertainty.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Don't wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of AvoidProbate.ca.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Jason Laidler, the founder, president, CEO, and grand poobah of Avoid Probate.
Bottle washer.
Bottle washer. And me, Ted Wallison, his chauffeur. So, time to go to the mailbag. And with that, we remind you that you can, too, participate simply by firing off a question to us. And the email is info@avoidprobate.ca. Or you can call and let us know that way as well, 1-844-667-7628. And we will get to your email right now. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Ted.
Not me. This is.
Oh, I thought you were saying hi.
I'm now playing the role of the writer.
Okay, good.
Okay.
It suits you.
Hi, Jason. I'm very interested in getting a bear trust. I didn't see any info on your website. It's probably there. Please let me know where to find it. I'd like to read up on it a bit before speaking to someone so I might be able to ask better questions. Never miss your radio show, especially Ted. He's great.
Sorry.
Okay, I did that. I'll be listening tomorrow morning. Thanks. You know, the thing is, don't feel bad that you don't know the answers, because that's why we're here to give
you. Oh, absolutely.
The answers.
Oh, of course.
And if you can't find it on the website, it may not be there.
It may not be there. And I was going to say that. But first, I was going to say maybe it's not a good idea if Ted reads these emails, if he's going to embellish and ad lib like that. But anyway.
The last one.
That's the last one? Yeah. Like okay, I'm sure. All right, so in response, the first thing I have to admit, I hold my hands up to this and say, I don't create my website. I pay people to do that. I'm not a techie guy. I've said that on the show before. So I actually don't even know if there's a page on the Bear Trust on the website or not. But what I do know is that avoidprobate.ca, that's us, right? That's the name of the company. This is the Avoid Probate Show, and it's brought to you by a company called avoidprobate.ca. The avoidprobate.ca, which is the website, and that's not a coincidence. You can go to the website address on your computer and type in avoidprobate.ca, and you'll go right to the website. You don't have to do a Google search if you know the web address is avoidprobate.ca, which it is. Where I'm going with this is we are also now the proud owners of a website called beartrust.ca. We got so much enthusiasm and enthusiastic interest on this bear trust concept as a way of avoiding probate on property. We bought it. We bought beartrust.ca. Now,
that's B-A-R-E, as in naked.
Yes.
Not as in the animal.
Right. And it is, and that's why it's also called a naked trust, and that's why it's called a bear trust. And it's referred to that in that way because it's a, I guess I should say, it's a stripped-down version of a trust, to keep the analogy going. Stripped-down version in the sense, it's not like a normal trust. It doesn't create a tax event when the property is put inside the trust. And, interestingly, the trustees don't have the same authority that they would have in a normal trust. So when you put the property in a bear trust, you don't lose any control over the property. You can sell the house or the cottage or whatever the property looks like. You can sell it anytime you want, and nobody can oppose the sale. The trustee cannot oppose the sale. So that's why it's BARE/naked, because it's a reduced, you know, example of what a normal trust would look like. So I will check to see where, if and where there's any info on the existing website about the Bear Trust. And if not, there really should be. And that's something I'll have a conversation with my tech people, my website people about that. But I wanted to let the listeners know that soon, like, don't go to beartrust.ca today because it doesn't exist. It exists, but it's not published. We are building it. Mm-hmm. So the web people who do all this techie stuff for us in the background, they're working on creating something.
But if somebody has a problem right now with Bear Trust, they can still contact you.
Absolutely. We are doing Bear Trust work every day.
Right.
Because we get that call every day. In fact, I just had a meeting, Ted, with a lovely young lady in her early 80s. She's got 3 children, but only one of them is interested in the family cottage. She has a house in the city. That's where we had the meeting. I should maybe mention, we come to you. Like, people will often ask me, well, where's your office? Okay, there's an office. It's in North York. I hardly ever go there because I don't need to go there. There's nothing for me to do in the office. And frankly, I don't really want to be there because I'm busy driving, you know, from London to Sault Ste. Marie, back to Scarborough, to Guelph, wherever, Newmarket, Uxbridge, wherever, all over the place. We do service the whole province. And so it's just really, most of the time, a lot easier for us to come to you, whether it's myself or one of our other advisors. We'll come to your place because that's where you're comfortable and that's where your records are, because sometimes I need to see a statement of some kind to answer the question, or if we're going to do the transfer from the bank over to the insurance company, I need a void check. And that's just for ID purposes. I need other ID. If you don't know your social insurance number, then you might have to go find it. So it's just a lot easier, we find, most of the time, for us to come to you. And so that's what I did in this case I'm talking about now with the lady with the three children in the cottage. I can't remember where the cottage is. The cottage is obviously not in the city. I think she said, anyway, north of the city. I don't want to say exactly where. What I'm getting at is we're going to use a bear trust in this case. She'd never heard of it. She's recently had her will redone. I don't know how many times she's had her will redone. And I've said this on the show before as well. And people will say to me, Jason, I've had my will done like three times and the lawyers never mentioned a bear trust. Like, what's going on? Is this thing legit? Is it real? What's going on? Well, I don't know what to say to that. I can say this. Obviously not all lawyers are created equal. Well, that goes, you know, with any industry. I'm not picking on lawyers when I say that. Advisors, bricklayers, accountants, whatever. And the other thing I remind people is that lawyers make their living often probating estates. So is there a built-in conflict of interest? I don't know. You tell me. So we're going to do a bear trust for this lady and her children and the one. But it's important to explain that it doesn't change the taxation, like the federal taxation, the capital gains, the tax you got to pay, the tax return stuff. Nothing, none of that is affected. None of that changes because probate is a provincial matter. The province of Ontario sets the rate at 1.5%, which I say is the highest in the country. And that's a death tax grab, according to some people. It's the last, other than your final income tax return, it's the last tax you'll pay. But it is a revenue source for the province of Ontario, and that's why they changed the rules drastically in 2015 and didn't make the process any more fun. Not that it was fun before, that's for sure. But I mentioned the new estate information return that needs to be completed. And there's other new requirements, and there's new deadlines, and there's new penalties. And the penalties are terrible, like they're brutal penalties, fines and prison and or both. But you really got to be trying to rip the province off, like in a big way, you know, before you go to jail. But you can't say it's never happened, right? People forget to list certain assets on the estate information return so that they can save $3,000 or I don't know, whatever the number is. But you got to be so careful, because getting back to the point we made earlier about siblings, if there's any sibling rivalry or if there's a beneficiary who's got an axe to grind, and that beneficiary thinks or finds out that whoever's doing the probate application, if they think they're not being fully wholesome, is that how I should put it? Like, fully honest, and they call the province and say, no, it's bogus. That application is inaccurate and bogus. Oh, man, you got a problem. So, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be by the book, and that's what we expect most people to do, is do it by the book. And we're here to help. Okay, so carrying on with the mailbag, I'm going to pick up where Ted left off, because I just want to talk about another couple of other meetings that we had recently. I did meet with a lady also in her 80s and one of her adult children. So I love that. I love it when that happens. I love it when it's mom and one or more of the kids. I call them kids. They're, mom's 90, the kid's like 65, right? So, but you know what I mean. But it makes it easier for everybody if we can do it that way. I feel more comfortable. They feel more comfortable. Sizable investment account at one of the big banks. We're in the process of transferring it to one of the big Canadian insurance companies so that it does not get stuck in the probate nightmare for 10 or more months. What's interesting here is that the split between the two children, one of the kids was in the meeting, one of them was not. And the split, in other words, the beneficiary designation that's happening between the two children to 60-plus-year-old children, it's not 50-50. So Can you imagine why it might not be 50-50, Ted?
Because one of them was probably aided during difficult times over the past few years.
Exactly.
Because very seldom when you have, let's say you have three children, the odds of all three of them being equal financially and on equal ground, the odds are that somebody has gone through a tougher time. Maybe they have, you know, suddenly two sets of twins show up in their life and it's like, wow, I need money. So you have to start taking some money.
Exactly.
So that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens. And that's what happened here. I think it was a 25-75 split for that very reason. Mom helped the one child out already. I just remembered there is another...
Well, one of the kids turns out to be a professional hockey player. He's making $18 million a year, and the other one is making $75,000 a year. You think they should get the money equally?
No, exactly. So. That happens all the time.
So listen, let me take a minute here and read. This is from, you know, we had her Mother's Day promotion, and we gave it away to a woman who was, had written such a beautiful note about her late mother.
Yeah.
And her name is Francesca, the woman who wrote this. I'm just going to paraphrase what she had written to us. Well, it says, "Dear Jason," but she means really me. "What a delightful surprise to receive your most kind email with such a sweet gift commemorating my dear mother, Patricia Ann. Your kindness so touches my heart. I'm sorry I missed your show yesterday, and hearing this fun news that I won your special contest, Murphy's Law, that day I had a Zoom conference from Germany at the same time, which with the time change got me up quite early yesterday morning. My mother was a real brick. She had two sets of twins in less than 2 years, of which I am a baby. My twin brother is 20 minutes older. With all good wishes and love to you, your family, and your great program, especially that co-host, you are the best."
Thought we were Zoom. No more ad-libbing happening.
Francesca, am I out of line here, Kelly? Or what's the story? Should I not be mentioning my name in these letters?
What are you asking Kelly for?
I don't know, because I don't want to ask you. Anyway, listen, Francesca, enjoy it. And as you are enjoying great memories of your mom.
Yes, and congratulations again, Francesca. And thank you for the lovely thank you. It was very sweet of you. I think we're coming up against the clock here, Mr. Walshin.
I think we're...
Before we sign off, though, I just wanted to say, Francesca mentioned her mother was a real brick. I don't think I've ever heard that expression before, and I thought, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, I think it's a good thing.
I'm sure it's a good thing, but...
It's a good thing.
A brick.
It's a good thing.
So if I call you a brick, you're not going to be offended? Okay.
I've called you that.
All right, let's not go there.
Anyway,
it's a family show, Ted.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your kind words towards me.
Yes, thank you very much, Zoomers, for joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning again. Hopefully you will join us again next Sunday. We will talk about more probate stuff, and hopefully you'll learn something. I want to say thank you to our awesome producer behind the glass. Thank you, Kelly, for all the hard work you're doing back there.
Don't forget your flamingos.
Yeah, Kelly gets to take these flamingos home, so she's pretty excited about that. Thanks to Ted Walshin for his decades of radio excellence. And once again, we'll be back next Sunday, Ted. Can you make it? Can you join us?
I will look forward to that.
Yeah, me too. All right, enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.